anything you could do, I could do better. Ha! I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
And welcome to the Go Morning Podcast. I'm your host for today, Cody Durbin, and with me is my lovely and adorable twin sister, Corey.
Yay.
Now, dare I say that there are no boys around? I don't see any of them around.
Gasp.
I know. Well, today's a little special, and it's a girls rule, boys drool podcast of Go.
No boys allowed.
Yes, it's the Go Slumber Party, and if you're a boy, you're not invited, and you have to, like, peek through the window or something like that.
Are we gonna get you?
Yeah.
We're having a pillow fight later, and you're not invited.
And we're gonna do each other's makeup, and we're gonna talk about Hot Boy.
Like Johnny.
Yeah.
Namely Johnny.
Well, the real reason why I'm hosting the show and not our dearest Eric is because our fearless leader is really busy with work. As is
every other single guy that does the show.
Yeah, all the guys were busy, and we couldn't really find a good time, and lots of conflict of interest. Anyway, so Eric put me in charge, and I hope I do you proud, Eric. I guess we'll start right in on things that the two of us have been watching since we do live together. So, you know, we're pretty much into the same things.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the two of us have been watching is, or just finished actually, is an anime called Rose and Maiden.
Yay. Pretty dolls.
Right.
And then some.
Right. If you've never seen Rose and Maiden, it's about this former junior high student named Yoon. And he dropped out due to certain reasons that are explained later on, so I don't want to give anything away. But he's really into dolls. And he's a recluse. Like, he's one of the hikikomori types. But he's really into dolls, and he's perusing a website, and he finds this thing called Rose and Maiden. So, you know, he orders it, of course. And this box comes flying through his window, and it's this living, talking, breathing doll who orders him around. So, that begins. And her name is Shinku, by the way. That begins. Other dolls come later. And chaos ensues.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Well, yeah. We'll kind of get into that. We're going to get into Rose and Maiden a little bit later. So, another thing that we just finished again is, Gankutsuo.
Yeah. Beautiful. Just beautiful. It's, based on the, book, The Count of Monte Cristo.
Cristo! Oops! The Count of Monte Cristo! Shut up!
He's not the Count of Lard, okay? No, it's a Gonzo production based on the famous book, and it's kind of, as in true Gonzo fashion, it's redone to set a very futuristic story.
Right.
And it has mecha.
Right.
Because they love those things.
Gonzo loves their machines. I mean, it's
they
like
do.
Samurai 7, they had to get machines in there, and,
yes.
First Angel had to get machines in there.
Yeah. it wouldn't be Gonzo without them.
Right. But it's really, really good. Like,
yes.
If you're into classic literature, of course. Or if you're just into pretty art style.
Yeah, this is, it's really, like, a different art style. I was kind of offset by it at first because I was like, hey, the pattern of his hair is moving. It keeps changing. But then you really come to appreciate the beauty of it.
Right.
It's alternative parts, though.
How right. About that? It's very much mostly CG work.
Yes. Very heavy.
Right. But it's still, it's like gorgeous. You'd have to watch it.
It's out on DVD.
Right. It's out stateside, so you can go to your local retailer of choice and pick it up
wherever your DVDs are sold.
Well, I don't think you could buy it everywhere.
Hey, like I said, Samurai 7 at Walmart, okay?
That doesn't mean anything.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Oh, Rosen Maiden is also out on DVD, by the way.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And, another show that we started watching again was, Kazemase Tsukikagiran, or over here they call it,
Carried by the Wind, Tsukikagiran. It's a story about, a woman traveler who, a woman samurai, who's pretty much traveling alone on the roads of Japan, not really doing much. Yeah.
They tried
and she runs into, it seems like this Chinese girl, because her Japanese is kind of funny. Her name is Miao. And she, this sounds so honk, it just sounds so cheesy.
Yeah.
And she runs in, Miao runs into Ron, constantly every episode. They're not really traveling together per se, but yet it seems like they are, because they keep running into each other, and they just encounter, you know, bad guys along the way, and they defeat the bad guys.
Yeah, they tried to, I don't know what they were thinking. I guess they were trying to bill it as, like, a female Kenshin.
That's what I'm thinking,
but really,
too.
It's not even on the same level as Kenshin.
It's nothing like Kenshin.
And you can tell, too, because the production value and the production quality of it is just pitiful at times. It's like the fight scene. The one good thing about it, though, is that the fight scenes are amazing.
Yes, because I read that they actually hired a professional fight scene choreographer.
And I think that's where all the money went.
Yes. Yes.
Was to hire that fight scene choreographer.
Yes, but it really shows. The fight scenes are very good. And there are fight scenes every episode, so.
And when they brought it over here, you can also tell that they really didn't spend that much money on it either, because it looks like
the DVD cost us less than $5.
Right, and it looks like the, it was just printed with, like a home printer. Like
yeah.
The label.
Like the Dot Matrix.
Dot Matrix printer. And they just splashed some color on it. It's really kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
But it is a good show for, you know, if you just want something kind of mindless and funny to watch.
It's very funny.
Yeah, because
it's some really funny moments.
It is really funny.
And the voice acting is very good.
Yeah, and the opening and ending songs,
beautiful.
Mostly the opening song. The ending song's kind of like a little ditty,
it's good.
But
it's a professional Enka singer whose name I've totally forgotten.
Right.
But she sings the opening. It's very good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
If you're into that kind of thing.
The translation isn't so bad. I've seen worse. Well, I've seen worse, okay? I've seen worse. But like I said, it retails for about $8 to $9 per DVD.
Right.
And there's like four.
Yeah, so you're not really...
Or something like that.
So if you buy it, you're not really... If you buy it and you hate it, you're not really losing anything.
Right, because it's not like some shows I know that cost $40 for two episodes.
I'm looking at you,
Tsukihime. And, yeah, it's a good show. It's just a good show to watch, maybe, like, if you just... I don't know, let's say have a free Friday night or something like that, and you just want to watch a good action show.
Right.
And you don't mind... You know, a little bit of hokiness. Because there are some definitely cheesy moments.
Right.
But it's good. It's very good.
While we're sitting here doing recommendations,
which seems to be what we're doing.
What we're doing.
Instead of talking about what we're watching, we start recommending things.
Yeah. So while we're sitting here doing recommendations, we figured it would be a good idea for maybe for us to recommend some things as girls to you guys that this you otherwise wouldn't watch because you'd think it was too girly or whatever.
This goes out to all the guys out in the crowd that don't really like to listen to the ladies' recommendations.
You totally killed it.
Sorry.
Anyway. The definite first recommendation that everyone on the planet just needs to watch is definitely Orin
High School Host Club.
This show is nuts.
It needs to pretty much be watched by everyone.
Or read. You can read it.
Yes,
I mean,
you can buy the manga here in the West, but the anime has not been licensed yet.
Right. The show is about a girl named Haruhi, and she's average high schooler.
And she comes, you know, from pretty much a middle-class family. I wouldn't say they're low-income, but middle.
Just average middle-class girl. But the kick is that she's been accepted to a prestigious, like, probably the most prestigious school in all of Japan. Oran.
Yeah. No, this is a very rich school.
Yeah, pretty much the top of the top. So, she was accepted by her good grades, and she can't stand how the whole school is pretty just like a joke, because, you know, no one takes anything seriously. So, she goes up into the third floor music room just to study, to find somewhere to study, and she accidentally runs into the school's most popular club, the host club. Now, when we say host club, it's not what you're thinking. It's pretty much the watered-down,
flowery version
of a host club.
Yeah, where the hosts sit around and drink tea as they chat idly with fellow ladies of the school.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. Just like a real host club, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. But how did he... she stumbles upon them, and some things happen, and she's suddenly roped into being a member. Hmm. And I'm not going to give anything else away.
Yeah, you just have to see for yourself.
Right. The really funny thing about this anime is that it's just freaking hilarious.
Mm.
I mean, I think that what a lot of guys were upset by is the fact that it's a group of pretty boys.
Yeah. And so they probably feel that, oh god, there's probably going to be a whole bunch of homoerotic things going on that I don't really want to see.
Right, but the thing with this is that they make fun of the fact that there would be homoerotic situations with them. Yeah. And they poke fun at it. You know, almost to be like, oh, we already know that we're doing this. Yeah, and we're going to make fun of ourselves.
We already know that we're acting pretty gay.
Yeah. And also, you really love all the characters because they're all the rich students, that is. They're so stupid and they're so naive as, you know, to the real world that you almost want to feel sorry for them. But instead, you're laughing at them the whole time when they don't even know what, you know, coffee grounds are.
Yeah. Is that Toto?
But it's a really hilarious show, and it's really funny manga, and if you have the chance, you should read it. I mean,
no, there is no, you don't make a chance, you just do it. Just do it. Don't sit there if you have the chance. Just do it right now. Just go out.
Well, after you're done listening to this.
Yes, of course. Yes, yes, finish this first, and then go get some form of Oran. That's what I think.
Yeah. The next anime that I was kind of hesitant to recommend would be, but it ends up good, is Mineliba, and its second season, Mineliba Vita.
Well, this story is about, five boys, I suppose high school, who are in the most prestigious Academy and all of the made-up country of...
Kuchen.
Kuchen.
Which is German for cake.
Tasty. And, what's with the prestigious high schools here thing?
I don't know.
Anyway, these five boys are in line to be, I guess, what you would call Kuchen's government? The King's Council?
Yeah.
It was never really fully explained. Called the
Straw.
The Straw.
Straw. Oh, and the name of the academy, by the way, is Rosenstolz.
Yeah, sorry. It's pretty much about the five boys' power struggles to be in Straw, and there's a whole lot of political drama going down in this anime.
Right. I think foremost, if anything, it's like a political action as opposed to five very pretty boys.
The story takes place right before World War II.
Yes.
Yes. But in the made-up country, of course.
Yes. So, a lot of, there's a whole lot of talk about, well,
implied talk about what's going on in Germany and the rest of the world.
Right.
Namely. But, there's murder, and there's intrigue.
And mystery.
Definitely, and backstabbing, and treason. And, you know, good guys being bad guys, and bad guys turning out to be good guys, and there's fighting.
Yeah, there's lots of fighting.
And running away, too.
But not like Dragon Ball Z fighting, like...
No.
This is, like, with guns and swords and...
Yeah, but it's not every episode.
Right, it's not every episode.
It's well planned, it's well timed out.
The only problem with this show that I think guys would be turned off by is that... The fact that the guys are so pretty.
And there's not a lot of girls.
And there's not that many girls,
so... In fact, the first season doesn't even really have girls.
Yeah. Well, what Mynaliba started out as was a dating sim for girls on the PlayStation 2 and the Game Boy Advance. And the designs were done by Kaori Yuki,
who's most famous, probably for Angel Sanctuary.
Yeah, and Count Kane.
Count Kane. Or Godchild.
Or Godchild. Yeah. So, you know the men are going to be
extremely beautiful. Actually, the premise for the original PlayStation 2 game was dangerously beautiful men.
And they are.
They are very, very beautiful. Kaori Yuki is just... She's excellent.
But... The problem with that would be is when they translated over into the anime that there weren't any girls.
Yeah, in fact, the original girls from the game, it's also for Game Boy Advance, the original girls from the game are, they're only featured for, like, maybe a fraction of a second in one of the episodes of the first season.
Right.
But in the second season, they take the girl that you play, at least in the Game Boy Advance version. I've never played the PlayStation 2, but they take the girl that you play in the GBA version. She's actually a good character in the second season.
Of Mynaliba Vita.
Yeah. Whereas the girls from the game are not featured in the second season at all.
The girls, by the way, are your rivals in the game.
I'm sorry, I should clarify that.
That's fine.
However, the rivals do appear for that brief glimpse in time in the first season.
Right. But, like you said, the problem with no girls is that guys would probably think that it's pretty homo or very gay because there aren't any girls. So it's mostly just a bunch of guys interacting with each other.
And a bunch of beautiful, dangerously beautiful men at that.
Right, so a lot of guys could misconstrue all their actions as gay, kind of like Aura.
Right.
Or Cluster Edge.
No. Cluster Edge is just... Don't even touch on Cluster Edge. Cody.
<Okay.
laughs> No, we'll see. It's just, I think that people think that since there aren't any girls around, that they're just going to sit around and be pretty and flamboyant and kind of gay. So they probably go ahead and see all their actions as, oh, that's pretty fruity.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
They have this preconceived notion of that everything they do is going to be gay because they already are gay. That's, I mean, okay, granted, they're pretty gay.
Maybe they just want them to be that way.
Oh, I do. There's no doubt in my mind. Louis analogy forever. But, you know, I'm just saying, a lot of it's the, you know, preconceived notions.
Right. But I think if you're into, you know, political action dramas and you can overlook the fact that there aren't any girls, then I definitely recommend Mina Leiva.
The voice acting is top-notch.
Right.
I mean, they got a lot of good seiyuu to be in this.
They did.
I mean, a lot.
But yeah, if you're into that kind of thing, then check out Mina Leiva, which means my love in German. And then the second season is called Mina Leiva Vida, or My Love Again. Real original here.
Yeah.
Or play the game if you want to plunk some money down. It's a lot of fun and it's very pretty.
Yes, it is. The GBA is very flouncy.
Yes, it is.
It has very good music.
Right. Another show that we were talking about earlier was Rosen Maiden, and its second season, Rosen Maiden Traumen. What's with the German?
I don't know.
Anyway, we have German in prestigious schools. What's up with that?
I don't know.
But just because it has dolls in it doesn't make it stupid or doesn't make it too girly. Yeah. Matter of fact, it's kind of almost...
Well, it's fitting that it's dolls.
Right.
Because these dolls are so catty. Now, if it was a bunch of G.I. Joes, it just wouldn't be right.
It would seem normal.
No, it would seem like they're being catty. Like a bunch of prissy females or something.
Oh, these dolls are bitches, I tell you what.
They are. They really are.
They're straight up.
You would probably call the G.I. Joes divas.
Right. Divas. That's a good word. Almost.
Almost.
But it is... It's not one of the best shows I've ever seen.
No.
But it is a good show. It starts out kind of slow, but... If you just, you know, put away from the fact that they're actually dolls, and you can almost look at it kind of like a harem anime.
I would not call this a harem anime by any means.
Well, it is one guy and a bunch of girls.
Yeah, but they're not all madly in love with him for some stupid reason.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Come on.
It is. No,
look at it. Don't look at them as tiny dolls fighting. Look at them as
warriors.
Yeah,
warriors on a quest
in a frilly dress.
Yeah. And that'll make it better.
Yeah, of course.
And I mean, aside from the bitchiness of dolls and all that stuff, it does have a good story, and it's kind of. It's a little dark.
Well, what I really like is that they really avoided a lot of stereotypes. Like, they could have made June, like, a little shy middle schooler who is pretty average in his studies, and he does okay at school, and he's on, like, I don't know, the soccer team or whatever, and... Then one day he's mysteriously confronted by a doll, and he's got to hide the doll from all his friends and family.
It's not like that, because he doesn't have any friends.
Exactly, because he's a dropout.
Right.
And he has mental problems, emotional problems, and, you know, he doesn't try to hide the dolls from his sister. I mean, there's just no way, because the dolls don't really give a crap about June and his life.
Problems, yeah.
Yeah. And, they really could have run with stereotypes here, but they didn't. They really avoided a lot, like the whole, Shinku has powers, and of course her powers can only be amplified by June, but she can still fight without him.
Right.
There's another stereotype they avoided, where, you know, Shinku has to rely only on June.
Right.
I mean, she can fight, but she can fight better with June.
Women aren't weak.
Yeah.
Our dolls.
Whatever. And, and the fact that not all of the dolls are, really that useful, actually. Because not all the dolls battle, to be honest.
Right. I mean, at least we didn't see any.
Well, look at Hina Ichigo.
I'm not going to give anything away.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying. Hina Ichigo is this tiny little doll who dresses in pink and has curly blonde hair. She's not a fighter. She is a baby. Anyway, digress. You should check it out regardless.
Yeah, it's on DVD, so...
Frozen Maiden and Frozen Maiden Trapman.
See, which, now, I don't know if Trapman's on DVD.
I'm not sure if it's been licensed yet. Anyway, another anime that we kind of were shaky on, but I'm going to recommend it anyway, is Peach Girl.
Peach Girl is good for anybody. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care how old you are. And I don't care what gender you are. Everybody can enjoy Peach Girl.
Well, okay. Peach Girl is about a girl named Momo, who is thought of kind of as tramp, loose woman, lady of the evening, because she's in the swim club, so she has very tan skin and very bleached hair. From swimming?
Yeah, years of chlorine abuse has damaged her hair and turned it...
sun damage.
A blonde color.
Right. So, like, you know, she has this bad reputation even though she's a really good girl.
Yeah.
But, the story is about her and her...
relationships.
Her very bad relationships. And how she deals with them. And... it's not even, like, a love triangle or a love square. It's more like a love, like, octagon.
Yeah.
There's so many different things going on. Yeah. It's kind of like Marmalade Boy territory, but Peach Girl is much more realistic.
Yeah. Peach Girl is very much more realistic than Marmalade Boy.
I think one of the things that throws guys off is the fact that maybe it's called Peach Girl.
Well, and the fact that it's about relationships.
And it's about... yeah, in fact, it's about relationships.
High school relationships.
But, really, you get... like, when you start watching it, you get so pissed off at what's going on that you start yelling at the screen.
You sit there and you yell at the characters, and you're like, oh my god, I get... oh my god! And then you're like, I've got to watch this next episode! And you're screaming at the TV by yourself. Your cat's sitting there looking at you like, what? Because you're yelling. You just get so into it.
Right.
You and gotta keep watching.
And I think anybody appreciates a good story.
Mm.
And that's what Peach Girl is.
Yeah.
There are characters to love, and there are characters to hate. There's characters that you love to hate, and then
there's some characters
that... you will hate every character at least once during the show, and you will love them at least once.
Right.
They're very, very realistic.
Right.
I think that's what would make it appeal to everybody.
Well, of course, that's what I said. Anybody. I mean, you could have pink skin, and you would like the show.
The last one that my... very personal recommendation, not just the general blanket of Oron, is Rosa for Sai.
Yeah.
Which is a 40-episode anime from the, was it the late 70s?
Yeah.
So this is definitely retro, and it shows. And it's about the rise and the fall of Marie Antoinette through the eyes of Oscar, a made-up character, that was a close friend of hers.
Right.
Oscar kind of takes his hints from, like, Osamu Tezuka's Ribbon no Kashi or Princess Knight.
That's got several different names.
Yeah, it has a bunch of different names. But also, you can see kind of where Utena came from.
Yeah.
That whole, you know, the princess... becoming the prince.
Yeah, a girl posing as a boy because everyone around her needs her to be a boy.
Right. Oscar was born into one of the noble families of the French court. And, but she was a girl, and her father, the general of the army, decided that she was going to be raised a boy so that she could fight for the army and fight for the the throne and things like that. So basically, it's about her growing up through a time when, you know, France was not at ease. Yeah, where France just was in terrible unrest. And another part of the story is Marie. You know, everyone knows the story of Marie Antoinette. And it's about her growing up and becoming the queen at such a young age, and her, and, you know, just the downward spiral of the whole thing.
Yeah, of the French Revolution as a whole. And the fall of the Bourbon dynasty.
The start of, I mean, the series pretty much spans, where Marie Antoinette becomes a princess all the way to her death.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of history crammed into 40 episodes.
Right.
The one thing that would appeal to anyone is if you like history, a lot of real people were used as characters in this show.
Oh, yes. There's a ton of actual people who are used as characters, and actual events that happen during Marie Antoinette's reign as queen. And one interesting thing that they did with it is they included Oscar, this complete fictional character, into these events somehow.
And it works out.
And it works out, and it doesn't change history or anything.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, like, take, like, everyone knows that Marie's gonna die.
Yeah.
But they don't take it and be like, Oscar saves Marie, kind of thing. You know she's going to die, and it's just, it's more about watching the build-up and the gradual destruction that ensues.
And Oscar's reactions.
Yes, and how Oscar lives through it. I guess one thing that would put it off is the fact that it's so girly.
Yeah, this is a very girly show.
And when I say girly, I mean, like, it has lots of
bubbles
and roses. Flowers and pretty dresses
and like, you just, wow, anything you could think of that goes with shoujo, there, it is in this. Flowery music, I mean, harpsichords, everything, just, it's very, very girly.
And, like, all the girls fall in love with Oscar.
Yes, of course.
Of course. But it's, I don't know, I think it's one of the best animes ever.
Created, ever.
Ever.
There's no time.
I don't say that about a lot of things.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, I definitely would recommend that to guys. Yeah. Because it's not just about being mushy with girls. I mean, granted, they take a few liberties with the history, but, I mean, it's almost true to life of what really happened.
Right.
But they give it a little bit more personal touch.
Right. Instead of, like, a textbook setting.
Exactly.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's any girls actually out there listening, and you have a recommendation that
you think guys should watch, but that guys don't normally
consider,
yeah,
then you can send us an email at radio@gomorning.com.
But don't take my word for it.
Another thing that has been on, well, it really hasn't been on my mind, but it's something that I thought about as, like, you know, being a girl surrounded by a bunch of guys, which I don't mind, but I think that sometimes anime and manga and video games and this whole subculture of, I guess you could say, geekdom, in a sense.
Yeah, okay.
It's still rather male-dominated, I think.
It is.
I mean, I think about the titles that are brought over here, and it's mostly,
it's still for guys.
It's still mostly for guys.
Think of a lot of titles that, but then, wait a minute, what about Conan?
What about Conan?
That's for guys, and it's still not even brought over here. I'm just saying. Don't, and then, wait. No. Well, okay, but that's dating sim animes, which somehow never get any love, right, unless they're harems.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. But one show that comes to my mind is of Pikachu. Yeah.
Why?
Because it's a really enjoyable show, but yet it hasn't been brought over here. The manga has, but not the anime. Like, is it because it's too feminine?
I don't think it's that feminine. I think they said it wasn't brought over here because it's just too Japanese.
You think so?
Yes. That's what I heard. Not because it was too feminine, because a lot of Kogi Danbo stuff has been brought over here, and so your point's invalid, because they brought over sugar, and sugar's like cavity-inducing.
Shut up. Kogi Danbo didn't do that one. He just did the character design.
Point is, but I can think about, like, I think back to, like, when I first got into anime, and I thought about all the things that were available, and I can think about, like, all the packaging, and all, like, even the X, like, X-1999, the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a dark movie to begin with, because it's one of Clamp's darker works, but I looked
it's
at the
darkest, probably. Yeah,
I think about the promo ad for it, and all they really show is like the blood and the guts and stuff, and they make it look like this complete manly action film. What?
And I think there is a lot of fighting in it.
And then I think about, like, I'm not gonna, like, I know who released it. It was manga, but. Yeah. And I think about all the other titles that were available, like Fist of the North Star and Dragon Ball and,
Well, look what happened to Vision of Escaflowne. Do you remember when they brought that over here?
Right. I mean,
how Vision of Escaflowne was changed from this tender, love story with action, also a romance kind of action comedy thing, and they cut out all of the romance and love story and fluff and actual plot of the story to just be the findings with the Gylomimps.
Right.
I mean, do you remember when an uproar was in?
Yeah. I mean, you know, with, like, Ninja Scroll and and all, I mean, granted,
Devil Hunter Yoko.
And Devil Hunter Yoko. I mean,
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost. Yeah. All these titles that are just so
God.
Manly. I mean, not that I don't like them, because I love them, and
Akira.
And, yeah, and Akira, but that's not it. I love them a lot, but I'm just saying that when I first got into this
thing, choices for girls were far and few between. All you pretty much had was a bad dub of Sailor Moon.
Yeah, pretty much. And Cardcaptors.
Oh, my God. Well, look what happened to Cardcaptors. Same exact thing that happened with Vision of Escaflowne.
What?
They took out all of the fluff and romance that makes Cardcaptor Sakura so adorable, and they made it to just the battles with the cards.
Yeah, so each episode only lasts about 5 minutes long.
Exactly, so they could just make it up there with Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, which they've also butchered and cut up, but that's another rant for another day. But they took all the elements that made Cardcaptor Sakura so fluffy and sweet and adorable and made it for a boy's audience, pretty much. I don't know what they were aiming for. Were they trying to get girls into this whole card battle thing?
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
But they failed.
Because
they took
weird.
Out all the elements that made it so girly in the first place.
Really? Because that's like one. I think Cardcaptor Sakura is one of, like, the girliest works out there.
It is. It is so fluffy. It's sugar. Oh, you know, cavity inducing.
Yeah, but I think about it now, and, like, I can still go to, like, retailers of choice and see, like, a wall just completely lined with, like, Dragon Ball and...
Well, no, I also think about going over to the anime section, like, in certain video stores, and the first thing that I'm assaulted with, pretty much, is girls in scantily clad outfits.
Right, that too.
Rarely do I ever find a boy with a shirt half off, you know, facing me, in the DVD section.
which is one reason I kind of applaud them bringing Gravitation over.
Yes, very
because
much.
Because Gravitation was pretty much, like...
It's for girls, by girls.
Yes, it was for girls, by girls.
About boys.
About very, very effeminate men.
Very gay boys.
And I really applaud them bringing that over because they... I mean, that could have been a massive flop.
Mm.
But their girls needed something.
Yeah.
I mean,
because whether you like it or not, girls make up a big part of the culture.
I think
over
so
here.
Too.
They really do. It doesn't matter whether they're yaoi fangirls or they're not. They do make up a big part of the culture over here.
I think so too.
I don't forget Gundam Wing too, though. Like, they were trying to market Gundam Wing as yet another man thing, but we all know Gundam Wing's pretty homo.
Gundam Wing is really pretty.
Even though I'm pretty sure they were trying to market it as a boys, because it's Gundam, and there's fighting.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Girlfriend, right? Anyway... But I don't know. I still think that, I don't know where, like, with video games, for example, you don't really see that many, like, feminine oriented titles.
But then again, what is a feminine oriented?
Like Mina Leva, or...
Oh, well, that goes into the whole dating sim thing, which dating sims will never probably come over here. And especially not ones where girls.
That's true. But I don't know. I don't think that... I mean, personally, I don't care, because I still like...
Masculine, quote, masculine titles.
Like Dragon Ball. Because I don't want to admit anything, but...
No, it's a good story, actually.
Yeah.
It's got a great plot.
Don't rant.
But sometimes I think that girls are still... Well, not ignored,
short-changed.
But... Short-changed. Yes, that's a good word. Sometimes I think that us girls are still shortchanged on things that are brought over here, or things that are considered for our, you know, for our enjoyment.
Well, what about Vice Croix?
Do you think that, I mean, because Vice Croix was pretty much a girl fan base. I mean,
right.
No duh.
Right.
A four boy assassins, come on. Do you think that they changed it a little bit much to try to make it appeal more to boys?
Yeah, by calling it Night Hunters. What was wrong with Vice Croix?
Or just calling it White Cross, even, or... You know, Cody, whatever. White Cross, please. No,
I wouldn't bring up Vice Croix, because that was just...
Do you think that they are trying to make it towards boys, even though we all know fans of Vice Croix are girls?
Sometimes I think that.
I mean, there are boys that are fans of Vice Croix, but I'm just saying, generally, 4 out of 5 times, it's a girl.
I've seen some guy fans.
4 out of 5 times, it's a girl, okay?
Why?
I'm just saying, like... I feel that probably what's going to keep happening until girls actually make some sort of impact is that girly shows that might actually be brought over here are going to be cut up and chopped just like Cardcaptor Sakura and, what was it? A Vision of Escaflowne. God, that was bad.
Oh, like, if I think about, like, 4Kids TV, like, right now, and I can think of all the shows that are on there.
One Piece.
Yeah, One Piece, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and...
Magical Doremi.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and they butcher it so badly.
Tokyo Mew Mew.
Yeah, and they never get a chance. The girls
shows don't get a chance. Right. Except with the exception of Sailor Moon, which is just...
Sailor Moon got lucky.
Yeah, Sailor Moon did get lucky.
Sailor Moon got lucky. That's all I can say.
I think Sailor Moon was lucky because it was an actual anime and everyone was willing to get up at 6 in the morning.
Memories.
To actually watch something.
Yeah.
Even though it was very, very badly butchered.
Well, I mean, but like I said, later on, people started realizing that, hey, there's a better show out there than what we're getting over here in the States.
That's another rant for another day.
But, no, what I meant with, like, Tokyo Mew Mew and Magical Doraemi, I forgot what they call it over here, Tokyo Mew Mew. Was it Mew Mew Power?
Mew Mew Power.
Okay. Like, Mew Mew Power is really girly, and it has lots of fluff, and girly things, and shoujo just in general, but yet, once again, it's being marketed towards girls, I think, but yet they keep cutting out all the girly parts of the show.
So they can mostly be just like, oh, have something funny happen, and then have battle show up, and then
have
resolution.
A moral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do they keep... They're trying to market it to girls, but yet they keep cutting out the parts of the show that make it essentially girly.
And would appeal to a girl.
Yeah. What up with that?
I don't know.
I mean, that's what happened with Sakura and Magical Doraemi. All the things that make the show appealing to girls are being cut out, but yet they're still being marketed to girls.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. What up with that is all I have to say.
So, really, in conclusion, I don't really think that girls will ever be properly recognized. When I say girls, I mean just the female species in general. Like, I'm not talking about a particular age set.
Right.
I don't think that females in general will ever be properly recognized. The Western part of the world, but I don't really even think they're recognized all that much in the Eastern part either, except for some things, but that's another thing.
Yeah.
But I think that they're getting somewhere by bringing out titles like
Gravitation
and or in High School Books Club and stuff like that. And well, and with see, like the inclusion of like shoujo beat and stuff like that.
Yeah, now see, now that's weird. Why are girl titles being so recognized in manga but not in anime?
That I don't understand. Do girls read more manga?
Yeah, do girls read more manga than guys do?
I don't know.
That's a good question. That's something that we could look into sometime.
Right.
Like, if you notice, tons more girls' titles are being released out on manga than they ever will be on anime.
That's really true.
But I never thought about that till just right now. Like, Paradise Kiss.
Yeah. And Nana. And Count Kane.
And Oran.
Yeah.
And Pikachu.
Yeah.
And,
I applaud...
Absolute Boyfriend.
Yeah. That's why I applaud, like, Shoujo Beat, because, you know, they're actually... figuring out, hey,
girls like this stuff, too.
Girls like this stuff, wow!
Woo!
and they're bringing things over here. But, so I applaud those kind of things. And I applaud the fact that girls are being more taken into consideration.
At least manga-wise. I mean, baby steps.
Baby steps, that's for it.
Baby steps.
Well,
what about video games, though?
What about?
Girls are still really not being represented in video games at all.
I don't think girls are being represented in video games on any side of the planet.
Hey, that's not necessarily true, though. I mean, Maya Leva, there you go. Girls and Tokimeki Memorial girls side, they are being represented a lot better than they are over here, because I mean, look how long it took for Harvest Moon to finally get their girl versions released over here.
That's true.
Harvest Moon has had girl versions like
forever. And Harvest Moon, I think, what is it, Harvest Moon 2 or 3 for the Game Boy? I mean, they had the choice of being a boy or a girl right from the start. They didn't have boy-girl versions. But, I mean, it's like, I don't understand why. Why? I just don't understand why.
I think because they don't think that, girls play any video games.
Over here, I guess.
Yeah.
People keep crying out for girl versions and girl games to be released over here. And people keep talking about how girls need to be recognized more in the industry.
But nobody's doing anything.
Exactly. It's just a lot of talk, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Like, I mean, I think about a lot of the titles that are coming out over here. And I'm still really surprised Rule of Rose is coming out over here.
Yeah.
Which is basically about a girl club, isn't it?
Yes.
You could say that. It's about a bunch of girls, isn't it? Granted, but I mean, I think back to the old titles, like Mario, Pac-Man, Frogger, things like that. Now, those are truly games that anyone can enjoy.
Right.
Where did it suddenly stoop from, we're going to make games that everyone can play, to we're just going to make games that boys play?
I think...
When did that begin?
I think that started when gaming systems started to get a little bit more graphically intense.
You think so?
I think so. Like...
What, like SNES?
No! God. Like PlayStation, maybe.
No, I think it started way before that. I think more like Super Nintendo is where it really started to define that girls don't really matter that much. That's what
okay,
I think.
All right. Oh, okay, I'll agree with you there. I think that, as things got more intense, maybe people realized that it'd be better off as a first-person shooter as opposed to a... I don't know.
Are you trying to think of a guy?
I was trying to think of an everybody kind of game.
Side-scroller?
No. Yeah, okay, like a side-scroller.
Well, but does that mean that girls don't really enjoy first-person shooters? Generally, I don't think they do. I don't really enjoy first-person shooters myself.
I don't know because I haven't played that many, so I don't want
to... I've played enough to know that I don't really like them.
Okay, that's true. I don't know, I didn't want to make a judgment.
I would prefer a third person. Because, like, when I'm playing a game, I don't really want to be in the game. I want to be watching the game like a story. Like reading a book or something. And it's like, when I read Harry Potter books, I don't imagine myself as Harry Potter. I'm watching Harry Potter. That's how I feel like with... I'm reading about Harry Potter.
Right.
That's how I feel with video games. I'm not imagining myself in the game. That's how I feel with first-person shooters. Like, you're imagining yourself. That's you.
I mean, even the consoles themselves aren't that girl-friendly. Like...
No.
I can think of, like, Xbox controller and, like, Dreamcast controller and...
That thing was stupid.
I mean,
that Dreamcast controller was bigger than my hand.
I know, and it's not like... I mean, I have pretty small hands anyway. So I don't even see how, like, a 10-year-old boy could play with any of the controllers. Let alone me.
I can fit... I mean, my hands fit pretty good on the PS2 and the Nintendo and Super Nintendo. But why was it that the Dreamcast and the Xbox... I couldn't even get my thumb to wrap around to the button.
But then again, I have a pretty hard time even holding, like, my Guitar Hero controller.
Well, yeah, granted.
I mean, it's a little big for me, too. So, what does that say?
Well, details. But I'm just saying, why? Why did they make their controller so ridiculously stupid and big? Were they trying to send a message? Even though Dreamcast had a lot of female-friendly games, I think.
Right.
Like Space Channel 5 and stuff.
Yeah. That's probably another rant for another day.
Well, yeah, of course. But, well, no, not really, because we're talking about girls and girls and gaming. But personally, what I think, though, is that I think designers and game industry people think that girls are only into mushy love stories, mushy love RPGs, or puzzle games, which isn't necessarily true at all.
Because I can't do puzzle games.
Exactly. I cannot play, Puzzle de Pond to save my life.
I like fighting games, dang it. And
yeah.
I don't really care, because I like female characters, but, I just think about all the fighting games that I own and all the chicks in them.
Yeah, because even girls are being, pushed away from fighting games, because what are they assaulted with? Boobs. Pretty much. When I go to pick up Tekken, what's the first thing that I'm assaulted with?
Asuka's boobs on the cover.
Yeah, pretty much. And her belly button at that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't really want to see that. I mean, I'm sure that there are a ton of guys that want to. But, I mean,
I don't really...
You could make a conservative female fighter once in a while, you know? They don't all have to be Christy and Anna and Nina Williams.
And Ayumi.
Yeah. Kasumi, I can just think of a ton of female fighters. But
her KOF version, not her Fatal Fury.
Right. I don't understand. Even RPGs nowadays, where I always thought that girls in RPGs were pretty good. Because it seems like a girl can really sit down and devote the time to RPGs. Like, do those side quests and things like that. Even the character designs in RPGs are getting really...
Male-oriented.
Male-oriented. Where I always thought that RPGs were kind of safe. Look at 10-2.
Final Fantasy?
Yeah, Final Fantasy 10-2. That was so girly. But yet, look at all the outfits.
Not so girly.
Do you think that was because they thought that only girls would want to play Final Fantasy X-2?
Probably. Really? I don't know.
Who was X-2 marketed for? That's what I'm kind of wondering. Was it intended a little bit more for girls? Like, oh, let's continue the love story. Look, girls. We're going to end the love story the proper way, right? Right? That's what you want, right?
Am I right?
And then they thought, well, crap, no guy is going to want to play a game with a bunch of girls doing girly things.
Girly romance crap.
Yeah, so, okay, let's have them wearing, a strip of fabric.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Neither.
Did they really have to make their outfits that risque? I mean, I don't know. I don't really understand... I guess I don't really understand what game designers and just general gaming industry people understand. I think they have a very skewed vision of what girls want.
Oh, more than likely.
But then it's really hard to pinpoint because every girl is different.
Right.
Some girls want the gory games and some girls do not.
I do.
I don't mind gory games.
I don't either.
I mean, we're playing Fatal Frame 3 right now.
Right.
I'd like to consider that a little bit bloody. It's not gory, but it's intense.
Right.
It's not bunnies and rainbows, that's for sure.
But what's weird is that most Fatal Frame players that I know
are girls. Yeah. Do they feel more comfortable because it's not slash and cut 'em up?
I think because you have to actually...
Use your noggin?
Use your head.
Yeah. We'll see, but then I know a lot of guy Resident Evil players.
Right.
Whereas I don't really know that many female Resident Evil players. But you know what I do? You know who has players of both sexes evenly? Tomb Raider. Everybody loves Tomb Raider. Really? Like, I know both girls and guys that love to play Tomb Raider. Maybe Tomb Raider's actually right. Because, like, Lara Croft wasn't so scandalous that you couldn't... Where you didn't have to be bothered by what she was wearing.
Right.
She just had some shorts and a tank top. Granted, she had really large...
A very large rack.
Yeah. I was going to say really big brown eyes, but whatever. Granted, she had some ample measurements, but it was still really enjoyable. I didn't really feel offset by a scandalous outfit.
Right.
Because as a girl, that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Like, I feel uncomfortable watching a girl strut around trying to solve puzzles in a bikini, for instance. Which is what upset me with Fatal Frame 2, but I won't go there.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there either.
Well, for those that don't know, Fatal Frame 2, you have a lot of unlockable outfits. However, a lot of these unlockable outfits were simply just bikinis. There weren't really that many different outfits to choose from. I mean, seriously, a lot of them were bikinis.
That's true.
Except for maybe two outfits.
Maybe.
I think they
gothic
had...
Gothic and Lolita outfits?
They had a gothic Lolita outfit and a kimono. The rest were all bikinis.
Yes.
That's not fair at all.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to look at that. If you're going to make... Okay, if you're going to make the girls wear these scandalous little outfits, then you know what? Make the guys wear them, too.
Yeah.
Just make it fair. I mean, if... Like, for fighters... Make more of the men shirtless.
Yeah.
Make them wear, like, I don't know.
Hot pants.
Exactly. And then see how you like it. I mean, I know that the games are being geared towards guys mainly, but still, not every single female character wears, like, a little thong.
How can you fight in that?
Exactly. it's just, you know... Like, there are a lot of characters that really could use some more clothing, but, yeah. I think if designers of games would figure out that, no, it's impossible to fight in that tiny little mini skirt and that little bitty halter top, then we might get somewhere maybe someday.
Yeah.
That goes for any type of game, RPG, survival horror, or, you know, a fighting game. Any type of game, really.
Uh-oh. Still what this boils down to, pretty much.
What?
Man. Can't live with them. Can't live without them.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And I think with that saying that we should go ahead and conclude our broadcast of Girls Rule, Boys Drool.
No boys allowed.
Of Go...
Girls Only Club.
Of Go Morning Radio Podcast. Yeah. That was a lot to say. I hope you had fun girl talking it up.
Yeah. We even talked about hot guys.
Yeah.
Well, no Johnnies. But no. We talked about hot guys.
Oh, yeah. Hot guys.
Of the animated variety, I suppose.
It's all good. For my lovely, adorable twin sister, Corey.
Yay.
Durbin. And for your host, me, Cody Durbin. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.